You've stood in line at the airport. You've taken off your shoes, your jacket, your watch. You've put your laptop, your cell phone, maybe even your belt in a plastic bucket. You've walked through a metal detector while next to you, your luggage is on a conveyor belt being x-rayed by a security screener. Everything is being checked, you think, to prevent a catastrophe. Except it turns out it isn't. Many passenger planes also carry commercial cargo, from merchandise to food to flowers. And according to a government report out today, nearly all of the 6 billion pounds of cargo loaded each year onto planes is not being checked for explosives. To tell us more about what the report says, we're joined here in the studio by Tom Frank. He is the Washington correspondent for USA Today. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
And let me remind listeners that if you would like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. First of all, how common is it for passenger planes to carry cargo?
It's very common. A lot of passenger planes carry it, and when they do carry cargo, about 50% of what's in the cargo hold is commercial cargo as opposed to luggage.
Do you think most passengers are aware of that?
I can't imagine they are, because even if you sit on an airplane and watch stuff being loaded into the belly, what you're seeing is the luggage. You don't see the cargo being loaded in, because that's loaded in before passengers go in or before the luggage is loaded in.
So what's the rationale for cargo not being screened?
Time and money, basically. In order to screen all of the cargo, that is to physically screen it, the Transportation Security Administration says it would cost $3.6 billion over 10 years. That's a lot of money. The Transportation Security Administration's entire budget is a little over $4 billion. Secondly, it would take a lot of time because you're talking about, and that would potentially disrupt the flow of commerce. One thing to keep in mind with cargo is that a lot of it comes in huge packages, the size of a filing cabinet or even larger. And there isn't really a lot of technology that can screen that kind of stuff. You can't put it through the kind of luggage scanners you see in the airports because it just won't fit. So you also don't have technology that's readily available to start screening this. And, you know, the way to screen a large package is to break it apart and put it through screening machines, but that takes an extraordinary amount of time.
Gosh, I hate to say it, but can't they figure out some way to do it? Have the cargo have to be at the airport 2 days before? I mean, it seems like such a glaring security problem when you have everybody, when you have all the passengers going through, being put through security checks and having had to deal with it.
Well, there haven't been a lot of attacks documented using cargo. Some people will point to the Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, because that was blown up with a suitcase bomb, which was in the cargo hold. But that wasn't cargo. That was a luggage. That was a piece of luggage. So some people would say that it's not an area where terrorists have paid a lot of attention to as of yet. And you're talking about, you know, deliveries these days, it's all just in time. And when you're shipping something by air, you're not doing it because you don't care when it gets there. You're doing it because you want it to get there as soon as possible because you pay a premium for it.
Well, what did this report say about this problem and how it should be dealt with? Is it just not going to be dealt with?
Well, the Transportation Security Administration, which runs security in the airports, is trying to come up with a designation system whereby each item of cargo is rated according to its risk, so that the highest risk cargo would actually be physically inspected. They haven't gotten to do that yet. Right now, what happens is cargo is inspected at random. So, you know, every, I don't know, 10th piece of cargo or whatever is, they don't tell us, they don't reveal publicly how it's inspected. So a very small amount of cargo is actually inspected. And the thinking is that some random inspection does provide some deterrence because a terrorist doesn't necessarily know if, you know, the box that they put a bomb in is going to be the one that gets taken apart.
Let's break down what we're talking about when we're talking about cargo. I mean, who is shipping the cargo? Is it generally, are we generally speaking about large companies, or could it be individuals?
It's anyone. The jargon is as a shipper, and a shipper could be, it could be you sending a care package to a relative, or it could be Walmart sending electronics to a store. It's cargo is just about anything you can put in a box. As you said, it's fresh produce, it's seafood, it's body parts, it's electronics equipment, it's car engines, and so forth. So it comes in all shapes and sizes.
Tom Frank is the Washington correspondent for USA Today, and we are talking about air cargo security. And I want to remind you that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Miles, and he is in Rochester, New York. Hi, Miles. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Your guest just mentioned the transport of large cargo containers, and there not being any means of checking those for explosives at this point in time. And I'm a former explosives detection dog handler for the U.S. Air Force, and as such, I would search cargo and planes and buildings with my dog all the time in a very quick and efficient manner. And I'm wondering why there seems to be this overlooking or ignoring of this capability of the dogs just for the sake of the new technology, and why that's being ignored or not utilized properly, I suppose.
Was that mentioned at all?
It wasn't. There was no mention of canine teams. I know that the TSA has been expanding its use of canine teams. I don't think they're doing it in cargo, but they definitely do use canine teams, dogs, in inspecting luggage. And I don't know the reason for not doing that. I don't know how reliable they are, but I guess if the TSA is using them for luggage, then they must consider them reliable. That's a good point. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I know when I was working our dog, we had a 100% find rate over the course of 3 years. It would take us about 15 minutes to clear a good-sized room, maybe 20 to 25 minutes at the most to clear an aircraft, passenger and cargo compartments. So it just seems to me to make sense to utilize the what we've already got and we already know how to use.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that when you're talking about inspecting cargo going on an airplane, you're not talking about one airplane leaving a day. You're talking about, at a large airport, hundreds of airplanes leaving a day, and I don't know whether you could have a team of dogs working, whatever, 16 hours a day, nonstop. I think that there may be an issue.
It would have to rotate through multiple teams, of course.
Right, and what I'm saying
is around the clock operation. You're saying
is that right? It's one thing to test things in a laboratory or use things every so often, but the airport environment is an incredibly difficult environment. So when you're talking about using some kind of technology, even if it's dogs, you have to make sure that dogs can actually operate in an airport and do, you know, hundreds, thousands of packages for hours and hours a day.
All right. Thanks for your call, Miles. What is considered high-risk cargo? I mean, what cargo... Do they ever pull things out that they do inspect? I mean,
they do. As I said, the inspection is done randomly. What's high risk cargo? They won't tell you.
They won't say.
No.
Yeah.
The things that are looked at in terms of evaluating cargo is the TSA likes to look at the chain, the supply chain, how something gets, where it went, what path it traveled to get to the point where it's ready to be loaded in an airplane. And the TSA, one of the devices it has, it's something called a known shipper program. The idea is that if Walmart is shipping something and you know Walmart is safe and Walmart can prove to the government that it has a very secure supply chain, then that can be considered safe cargo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think, done largely by analyzing where has a certain item that's going to be shipped, where's it been.
Let's see if we can take another call from Tony, and he's calling from Huntington, West Virginia. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Go ahead.
That's funny that he just mentioned that program, because that's what I was going to comment on. Right about 2 weeks after 9/11, we ship TV production equipment from Detroit to Tampa, Florida, and we found out to our dismay at the last minute that they'd changed the rules. We'd been doing it for years, but all of a sudden we weren't a known shipper. You had to fill out all kinds of paperwork, and we couldn't get the stuff on a plane right then. So you couldn't just take a giant box up and say, send this to my Aunt Mary, unless they already knew you. And our stuff was, you know, TV monitors, cameras, all kinds of electronic stuff that if we're scanned, they wouldn't have no idea whether it was a bomb or not.
Yeah. Well, is, once you've done that, once you've gone through that process, then is it easier the next time? Are you then a known shipper?
Yes, because they recognize, they look at the history, they realize you've been doing that for years, the exact same products have been shipping back and forth between those two airports and or similar equipment, and they know who you are, and they check into it, and then, you know, there's no problem.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Tony.
Okay, thanks.
Just, Tom, did the report recommend that any action, specific action, be taken?
It recommended a lot of action. Mostly it talked about the need for the TSA to do sort of a top-to-bottom, beginning-to-end analysis of the supply chain and to actually try to find all the specific vulnerabilities in the aviation security system and take more of a risk-based approach. That's something that the government likes to do. If you have limited resources, apply them where the risk is the greatest.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Tom Frank is the Washington correspondent for USA Today, and you can read the GAO's report on air cargo security at our website, npr.org. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.